Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a dark, Amen-style pad routing setup in Ableton Live 12 that actually works inside a drum and bass drop. And that matters, because in DNB, the drop is already packed. You've got the kick, snare, break edits, sub, bass movement, fills, maybe some effects, and all of it is fighting for space. So the goal here is not to make a huge pad that takes over the track. The goal is to make a pad that supports the drop, adds emotion, adds tension, and still leaves the drums and bass room to breathe. Think of this pad as a shadow layer. It's not the main character, but without it, the drop can feel a little flat or too dry. With it routed well, the drop gets wider, darker, and way more rewind-worthy. Let's start with the sound source. You want a simple pad, something you can shape into a rough, atmospheric texture. If you're using Waveeatable, start with a saw-on oscillator 1, maybe a square or slightly detuned saw-on oscillator 2, and keep the unison subtle. Don't go too glossy. We're not making a bright pop pad here. We want something that feels a little sampled, a little dusty, and a little alive. If you prefer simpler, drop in a pad sample or atmospheric chord, then use classic mode and find an interesting slice with the start position. Even a plain pad sample can become interesting once you process it properly. The important thing is the character. For an Amen-style pad, you want something that feels like it belongs in a jungle or rollers context, so softer attack, sustained tone, and a slightly broken texture is the vibe. Now let's shape the low end first, because in DNB, the low end is sacred. Put EQ 8 after the instrument. High-pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, depending on how thick it is. If it's still crowding the mix, dip a little around 250 to 400 Hz too. That area can get muddy fast, especially when the break and bass line are already active. And if the pad feels harsh, pull down a little around 2.5 to 5 kHz. A good beginner rule here is simple. If the pad sounds huge by itself but starts getting in the way in the full mix, it probably needs less low end and less mid-range than you think. In a DNB drop, clarity beats size every time. Next, we add movement with auto filter. Insert auto filter after EQ 8. Try a low pass or band pass filter, depending on the tone you want. Start with the cutoff somewhere in the mid-range, maybe around 400 Hz to 1.5 kHz, and add just a little resonance. You want motion, not squealing. Now automate that cutoff. Keep the pad more closed during the first part of the drop, then slowly open it over 4 or 8 bars. You can close it back down before a switch up or rewind moment. That kind of movement is huge in drum and bass, because it creates tension without needing extra notes or extra drums. If you want a more jungle-inspired feel, bandpass can sound really cool here. It makes the pad feel like it's breathing around the break instead of sitting on top of it. Now let's get the space right. Create a return track with reverb and another with delay or echo. On the reverb, keep the decay reasonable, maybe around 1.5 to 3.5 seconds, and a little pre-delay, around 15 to 30 milliseconds, so the pad doesn't smear the front of the beat. Also make sure you roll off some low end in the reverb tail if it starts getting muddy. On the delay return, try a quarter note or a dotted eighth. Keep the feedback moderate and filter the highs and lows so the delay stays tucked behind the track. Ping pong can work, but only if the center of the mix is still clean. Then send the pad into those returns, but not too much. This is one of the biggest beginner mistakes. Too much reverb, too much delay, and suddenly your drop loses punch. The whole point is to create atmosphere around the pad, not turn the drop into a wash. Now, let's talk stereo width. Add utility after the main pad chain. You can try a width setting around 80 to 120%, but if the pad is stepping on the center, pull it back to 70 to 90%. Remember, in most DNB mixes, the center is for kick, snare, and sub. That's the main lane. The pad can be wide, but it should not fight for the middle. A really useful check here is to hit mono for a moment and see what happens. If the pad disappears completely or turns facey, it's too dependent on width. In that case, keep the dry pad more focused and let the reverb and delay create the stereo spread. Now we add some grit. A DNB pad often needs a bit of edge so it can survive inside the drop. Add saturator or drum bus after utility. With saturator, a few dB of drive can be enough, especially if soft clip is on. With drum bus, keep it subtle. A little drive, a little crunch, and usually no boom unless you intentionally want extra coloration. This is where the pad starts to feel more like an underground texture and less like a clean synth chord. That roughness helps it sit with breakbeats and bass without sounding too polished. Now we're at the point where the routing becomes powerful. Group the main pad processing into an audio effect rack. Put a Q8, auto filter, saturator or drum bus, and utility inside the rack. Keep your reverb and delay on return tracks as usual. Then map a few macros. A really practical beginner macro layout would be this. Macro 1 for filter cutoff. Macro 2 for reverb send. Macro 3 for delay send. Macro 4 for saturation drive. Macro 5 for width. Macro 6 for output gain. This gives you fast control over the pad's energy. You can keep it dark and tight for the first half of the drop, then open it up for the second half, or make it swell into a fill, then pull back for the impact. That's the kind of control that makes a pad feel like part of the arrangement instead of just something looping in the background. Now let's automate it. A strong DNB arrangement might go like this. The first 8 bars of the drop are dry, filtered, and fairly subtle. Then bars 9 to 16 open up more, with the filter rising, the sends increasing, and the width growing a little. Right before a fill or rewind point, you can quickly close the filter or fade the pad out for extra tension. That contrast is everything. In drum and bass, the most exciting moments often come from what you remove, not just what you add. So muting the pad for a bar, then bringing it back, can hit harder than keeping it on all the time. Now put it all in context with the Amen break and bass line. This is the real test. Listen to the pad with the drums and bass together. Ask yourself, can I still hear the snare clearly? Does the sub stay solid? Is the pad adding emotion without stealing focus? If it's masking the break, high pass it more, shorten the reverb, reduce the send levels or narrow the width a bit. If it feels too weak, add a little more saturation, open the filter slightly, or only bring it in during transitions. That context check is crucial. A pad can sound beautiful on its own and still be wrong for the drop. In DNB, the groove and the transient detail have to stay sharp. Once the routing feels good, you can take it one step further and resample the pad. Freeze and flatten it, or resample it onto a new audio track. This lets you chop it like a jungle sample, reverse small bits, create stutters, or pull out a one-bar tail for a transition. That's a classic drum and bass move. It turns a smooth, sustained pad into something more edit-friendly and more rhythmic. And that's really the goal here. Make the pad feel like part of the drum and bass arrangement, not just a harmonic layer sitting on top of it. A few quick reminders before we wrap up. Keep the low end out of the pad. Use reverb and delay with restraint. Stay aware of the center of the mix. Don't leave the pad playing at full strength the whole time. And always check mono compatibility, because if the pad disappears in mono, it may be too wide or too facey. Also, think support layer, not chord bed. In a DNB drop, the pad often works better when it implies harmony instead of spelling everything out loudly. Simple voicings usually hit harder. Even one sustained note with a harmony layer can be enough. If you want to push it further, try subtle sidechain compression to the kick or snare group, or automate tiny dips around the snare so the break cuts through more cleanly. You can also layer in a quiet noise texture, like vinyl hiss or industrial ambience, to make the pad feel more like part of a proper darker bass music world. So here's the big takeaway. A great Amen-style pad in Ableton Live 12 is not about making the biggest sound. It's about routing it smartly so it can add tension, width, and atmosphere without getting in the way of the drop. High pass it. Filter it. Saturate it a little. Keep it under control with macros. Automate it across the arrangement. Then use it to build contrast, because in DNB, contrast is what makes the drop feel huge. If you want, I can also turn this into a shorter classroom-style narration, or create a matching Ableton macro map for the rack.